Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from Romans 7, the scripture part that we have been reading, the first part of Romans 7. I read one, especially verse for the sermon, verse 12, chapter 7, verse 12, where we read, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good." The theme for the sermon is the law in the life of the believer. 3 points: dead to the law. 2 point, serve in newness of spirit. And the 3rd point, the law is holy. The law in the life of the believer. 3 points: dead to the law, serve in newness of spirit, and the law is holy. Congregation, there was a wife married to a very cruel husband. He never helped his wife. He didn't support her. He didn't encourage her. And he commanded. The only thing he did was to command. And he was demanding so much from that wife that she couldn't make it. And that husband was never satisfied. Always when he came home, he was complaining about things that she had done wrong. He only pointed to the things that were not finished and she didn't good enough. So maybe you can imagine how this wife felt. She couldn't make it. It was too hard. She was too weak to do all those things her husband demanded and commanded her to do. So at the end, she experienced so much weakness, and she died. And then she was free from that tie of that cruel husband. You say, what a sad story. But isn't that a situation that we are in by nature when we try to serve the Lord with the covenant of works? Then there's only the law commanding, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. But the law is not supporting, not giving the strength to do it. And we are so weak because of our sin that we cannot make it. If you really try that, to be perfect before the Lord according to His will and His holy law, you will experience you are too weak. You cannot. And it's never good enough. The law will say, well, you know, you did it, but you didn't do it in a holy way. And then the law's right. They say, well, you did pray, but your thoughts were wandering away, were going astray. You did read scripture, but did you really have the reverence and concentration that you should have? You didn't give money, but you did it for yourself, to the glory of your name, to have a good feeling for yourself. And so the law is never satisfied about what we are doing. It's never enough. We cannot make it. It's impossible. The law is so demanding. That burden is too much. We do not have the strength. So what a terrible life. If you try to make yourself worthy to enter heaven, are you doing that? You still have hope that you can make it? Do you not see your weakness, the impossibility? So what has to happen? You have to die. And then you will be free of that cruel husband of the law. You have to die spiritually so that you can marry someone else. You cannot be married to both together. You would be an adulteress if you would be married to the law and to Christ. If you would say, well, I expect it from Christ, and you try to do it yourself to make yourself worthy, that's impossible. That's not allowed. That will not work. So you have to die to be free from the law. To die spiritually. And Paul says, that is what happened to you. Believers in Rome, where the word, the gospel was coming to you, and then you died to the law when you believed in Christ, when you had faith in Him and rested in His work, you became free from the law. What does it mean to die spiritually? It means that we lose all hope to be saved by what we have, by what we do, by what we know, by what we can offer the Lord. Oh, that's terrible. It's like dying. To see a helplessness to save yourself. But then to see Christ, to receive hope by faith, to rest in Him, to see the light of His perfect work, His payment, satisfaction that He made at the cross, His perfect obedience to God, to the law, and to find rest in Him. That means that you are married to another husband. And what a change it is to be married to Christ. What a nice picture. He is a totally different husband. This husband is not commanding in such a way without supporting, but this husband says, well, dear, I've done it already. Let me do it for you. I'll support you. I give you the strength you need. What a total difference for this wife. So you died and resurrected. That's what Paul is teaching here in Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren? What a passionate way to speak to them. Know ye not, brethren? For I speak to them that know the law. They know the law. In Rome, they have been taught about it. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound to the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. Maybe you say, well, this is confusing because now he's speaking about the husband be dead. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And then he says in verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. Well, he was speaking about the husband dying. And, well, I think, you know, it's both true. It's both true that when this happens in your life, when you lose all hope to save yourself, you die spiritually. And you come to Christ to be saved by Him. So then, He is the one that is resurrecting you, raising you, giving you new life, making you spiritually alive. then in a certain way you can say the law is dead to you. The law is no longer what it was before. It cannot do what it could before. Before it could curse me, show me that I deceive, that I deserve the curse of the Lord, the curse of God because of my sin. It's written in the Word of God, cursed is everyone that doesn't keep the law of God. And now, it's about me. So, the law could say to me, you deserve to die. You are under the curse of God. You are a sinner. And if you sin, you should die. That's the punishment of sin. But now, when I died spiritually, and Paul says in verse 4, you are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Let me explain that. By the body of Christ, what does it mean? You should not think about the body of Christ as the church. That's another picture. But here it's clear that he's speaking about the physical body of Christ. When Christ died at the cross, Calvary, then the church was included in him. So Paul says, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The death of Christ was my death. I died with him, like we have seen in before in Romans 6. I died with him. He died for me. His death was my death. So that means that now the law can no longer say to me, you have to be punished because you are a sinner. Because then I would answer by faith, you are wrong. I am a sinner, that's true. But you cannot demand that I will be punished with death, because that already happened. When Christ died, I died. So now the law is losing that power over me to curse me and to say that I have to die. Because Christ died in my place. For me, when I am in Christ. So in that way, the law is dead. It cannot do that anymore. I'm free in that way from the law. I am free from the law. Dead to the law. That tie is broken that was there before. Ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. What a nice picture. We have seen before in chapter 6 that when you belong to Christ, you can say you are a slave of Christ, a servant, a slave. And that has some negative things that we do not include. To be a slave from Christ doesn't mean that we have a hard and bad life. But it means that we belong totally to him and are totally willing to serve him, and that he has the unconditional right to demand everything from me. I'm willing to give that. But now if you use this other picture, to be married to Christ, this is making it even more clear and beautiful. What a life to be married to such a husband who is so full of love that he sacrifices himself. By the way, that's how husbands should be. Read Ephesians 5. They should love their wives like Christ has loved the congregation. You ever saw that? Are you like that as a husband to your wives?
we are not like he is. But we should pray that the Lord will make us more and more like he is. So now you are dead to the law. Paul says, that tie is broken. It can no more curse us. Free from the law. Verse 3 says, free from the law. That can give you a wrong impression. Free from the law. So the law doesn't mean anything to us anymore. I do not have to obey the law anymore. Is that a meaning? No. No, that's not a meaning. The law is the will of God. But that law can no longer curse me, condemn me, because Christ took my condemnation upon himself. So now I'm free from that. In that way, I'm free from the law. And Paul says that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Why was it done? Why was the tie broken? So that I could be married to Christ. Did it happen in your life? Are you free from that old marriage? In the covenant of works that you try to work in such a way to save yourself? Oh, that tie has to be broken. You should be cut off from that old root, trying to justify yourself by the works, and you should be a brand in Christ, so that you receive all you need from him, and that you live by faith in communion to Christ, and that you bring forth fruit unto God. What a change. That's how God is working in hearts and lives of people. That old relation broken. And now there's a new relation. So how do you think about the law? Is it something you are scared of? Or is it something that you see in the law, the will of God, and when you know God by faith through Christ as your heavenly Father, then you have a desire to know his will. And then you understand that's the only way to understand Psalm 119. How can you understand that psalm if you are still in that old relation to the law? How can you understand that it is written there, I love the law, and it's my enjoyment to meditate on the law of God? If you are in that old relation to the law, you are like that man that was driving on the freeway, and there was a police car coming that was checking the speed of the cars, and the police car would have passed that other car because we're driving the right speed. But that man in the car, when he saw the police car, he became scared. And he tried to outrun the police car. And he had a lot of problem then. He made some accidents and almost lost his life because he was scared of that police car. So you can be scared of the law when you live in that old relation. And he was scared because he had a lot of illegal whiskey in his car. And then they caught him. But now if you have a person that is in the right relation to the law, and he is coming to a crossing and he is seeing a police car there, he says, well, that's good that they are there, because this is a dangerous crossing. So let them watch it, so that there will be no accidents. He loves it that they are there. You understand the difference? How you see the law of God? If you are in that old relation, married to the law, that cruel husband never satisfied. It's a burden to you. You cannot understand that anybody can say, well, I love the law. But if you are made free and married to Christ, and now you see the law is the will of my Heavenly Father, and you understand, I love it. It's there for my benefit. It's like a fence, so that I would not fall down in the depth and die. It's for my protection. It's to help me stay near to the Lord. It's not my foundation. It's not my way of salvation. But it's still the will of my Heavenly Father. Do you know the law in that way? As a teaching that you need, and not as a burden that you have to keep to enter heaven, but as the will of God. Are you dead to the law? Did you lose hope? And did you come to Christ? And is there that union in your life to Him, that you know Him and love Him as the one who did everything to save you? Then you are free from the law. But now, you should not understand that in the wrong way, because Paul has more to say about the law. He's not only saying you are free from the law, but he's also speaking about serving in newness of spirit. Yeah, so that's the other thing. You know, if you only would hear the first words, you would have a wrong understanding. Let me try to explain that. If I would say to you, you know, it's more than a month ago that I took a bath, then you would think, well, that's dirty. But if I would continue and say, but I took a shower every day, then you would say, okay, now I understand. So Paul says, you are free from the law, but he is not yet finished. So that we should serve in newness of spirit. And now people, they end there, they say, well, we are free from the law, so now we can do what we want. And that is not true. That's not a teaching of Scripture. We do not have to obey the law. We do not have to listen to the will of God. You should give Him the time to finish His sentence, so that we should serve in unity of spirit. What does it mean? Well, it has to do with sanctification. Justification and sanctification, they belong together. They are different, but they belong together. Justification is the judgment of God. God speaking a sentence about me. And I deserve that, but He is speaking me free because of Christ. He said, well, you are free. You will not receive the punishment. You are righteous in my sight because of Christ. So that's not changing anything in my life. Not about a change in me. But it's about the work of Christ. It's justification. And sanctification is connected to it. That's what is following. And it's impossible that it should not follow, that it would not follow. When you know that wonderful grace of Christ, the joy of being free from guilt because of the work of Christ, and you have a strong desire in your heart to live, to go, to serve Him. When we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. When you are in the flesh, when you live by your own natural heart, and when you are under the law, and the law is not supporting you, so there's no improvement. There's no fruit to the glory of God. But you are serving your flesh, and you bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, so that burden is taken from me. That curse is taken from me, and I'm free. Everything is done. It's such a deep joy. It's almost unbelievable. Is that true? Am I acceptable in the sight of God because of the work of Christ? Yes. Oh God, Thou art so good. And I have a desire to serve Thee with everything that is within me, in newness of spirit. We are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. So that's a new life. Serve in newness of spirit. What does it mean? Sanctification. It's also the work of God in your life. And that's such a joy. I remember the confusion in my heart, maybe I told one day, when there was a change in my life, that I really with my whole heart kneeled down before the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, help me, save me. I don't know how to do it." And I was aware there's a change now. This is not only emotion, it's from my heart. But then afterwards I saw sins in my life. And I didn't know how that could be changed. And I needed some time to see that from the Word. That that's also the work of God. And now when I see things in my life that are wrong, I run to Christ. And I pray, "Oh Lord, change my heart." And there's such a deep rest and joy in that also, that I know what I cannot do, the Lord can do and will do. I expect it from Him. And it's such an encouragement when you see things changed by the Lord that you couldn't change. Sanctification is by the Spirit of God dwelling in your heart, giving you a new desire, making you to live a new life, teaching you how good the law of God is. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. No, the law is not wrong. Yeah, our ship has to escape from two rocks. The rock of legalism and the rock of antinomianism. Let me explain it. Legalism is that you try to be saved by keeping the law. To improve yourself, to make yourself acceptable to God by keeping the law. And antinomianism is that you say, "Well, we are free from the law, so there's no need to hear the law anymore. It's only Christ." And that's strange, because if you look upon Christ, if you watch Him, you see someone who was keeping the law of God in a perfect way. So how can you separate that from each other? How can you say that? So what does it mean, legalism? You know, the legalists, they fear the law and are in bondage to it. That's a legalist. He's like that man in that car. He tried to outrun it. He shouldn't have done it. But he is fearing the police car because he's feeling guilty inside. They fear the law and are in bondage to it. But an antinomianist, he is against the law, that's the meaning of the word. He hates the law and repudiates it. That's what an antinomianist is. So now, in the child of God, he is free and he loves the law and has a desire to fulfill it by the power of the Spirit, to serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What does it mean? The Lord gave His law to His people in a written way on the stone tablets, and so they could read it. It was there in the letters written. But now there's a promise in the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit is coming to renew your heart, to take away that stone heart and to give you a living heart, then the Holy Spirit will write the law of God within. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart. So now the will of God is within. That's a change. That's a really important change, isn't it? When someone is giving you a command, say, well, you should do that, then we are offending. That's our natural reaction. What should I do? That's my decision. That's how we are. But if something is within, then we have a desire to do it. We are doing the things that are in our heart, isn't it? So now the Holy Spirit is bringing it within. So it's not serving in the oldness of letter as a burden, as something that's outside that I have to obey. But it's coming from within. It's by the Spirit taught. He taught me inside. Now I want to do it. That's a nice life. That's a joyful life. That you are to allow to do what you want to do. With all your strength, with all your power. Ah, maybe I should say with the strength of God. The power of the Holy Spirit has given you what you need to live a new life. And it's not perfect. That's my sadness. I stumble every day. That's because I have not a perfect faith. And there's still that old nature. And that old nature is not improving. It has a desire to sin. It has to die. But there's also that new life of the Spirit in my heart, and that doesn't sin. It is obeying God. So there's a conflict within me. Like that Indian man said, it was converted, there are two dogs fighting within. There's a black one and a white one. And which one is winning? Well, the one you feed the most. Which one do you feed the most? Which dog? Do you know that life, that new life, delivered from the law and serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter? So, like Paul will say in chapter 8, that we are guided not by the flesh, that's sinful, but by the Spirit, teaching and working within us, so that we would live for God and bring forth fruit unto God. Yeah, Paul, he lived before without the law. That's what he says. What does he mean? Well, he was a Pharisee. How can he say, well, without the law, I lived before? What is the meaning of that? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now, he had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Covet. So Paul, when he was a Pharisee, he knew everything about the law, but it was in the letter. And the law didn't come within. Didn't make him see his guilt. He kept it outside. He changed outward things. And he thought, well, he would make it. He was in that covenant of works, trying to improve himself. But in fact, he said, I live without the law. I kept it outside. So I didn't see my sin. I didn't see that to covet is sin. Without the law, he lived. And he was a Pharisee. He knew everything. So that's possible. You are very religious. You know everything. You can tell everything. But you keep it outside. It's not coming within. It's not coming in your heart. Paul lived that way before. But the day that the law came in and showed him that to covet is sin, well, then he lost hope. Then he died. If that is true, Well, then I cannot make it as a Pharisee. I can change my outside, a lot of it. But if it's about my heart, about my desires, oh. And when he saw that, when the law came in, he lost hope. And I deserve punishment. Then I deserve death. I'm a guilty sinner. So he felt condemned. And he died. To the law, by the law. So the law did in his life. So that he would be made alive by Christ and married to Christ and all his hope would be in Christ. And then live with the law in a different way, that the Holy Spirit would bring that will of God within. That he would say, oh, I love the law of God. It's good. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. You know that. You know that life with Christ. You know what it is to see yourself condemned before God. Did the law come in? Did you law it? Or did you hide away behind an outward religious life that seems to be according to the law, but you kept it to the outside because if it comes in, it would reveal how corrupt your heart is, and you do not like that. Is that change in your life? That the law came in and condemned you. Oh Lord, I'm lost. I deserve eternal punishment. I cannot save myself. I cannot change my heart. I cannot change those wrong, sinful desires. And they should be changed. So, Lord, here I am. I'm a poor, wretched sinner. Save me. And that the Lord came and took you, forgave you, and by the Holy Spirit worked in your heart, changed you. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 342, stanza 1 till 4. 342, stanza 1. Oh, let my supplicating cry by thee, my gracious Lord, be heard. Give wisdom and deliver me according to thy faithful word. 342, stanza 1 till 4.
congregation, Paul has said some negative things about the law, isn't it? He said that's a thing that you have to be free from. And he died to the law, by the law. So if there's a thing that you have to be free from and that you can die to, by it, that you can die by it, well, that could make you think very negative about it. In the first 6 verses of Romans 7, he's teaching that we, by faith, are free from the law. But then, from verse 7 till 13, he's defending the law, you could say. He's showing that the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. If there would be a criminal who is caught, like they say here, with red hands, doing the thing, then, and he is punished by the law, does that mean that the law is wrong? Because now, by the law, this criminal is punished? No, the law is good. It was because his criminality, because what he did wrong. So, that's how it is with the law. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. What God is asking and demanding is good. And he has the right to do it. But it is because of our sin, those negative things that are said by the law. It's about the corruption of our hearts. The law is holy and good. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the law was in the first place revealing to Paul whom he is before God, that he is a sinful man and that he needed Christ to be saved. The law is not sin, but Paul, he is sinful, and he needs Christ to be saved. So what's happening then with that law? But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, so desire, wrong desire. Sin taking occasion by the commandment is working that coveting in my heart. For without the law, sin was dead. That word occasion in the Greek language is a word that you could understand by, let me give you a picture by what when the young people go swimming, then they have a springboard. And if they jump on that springboard, they can dive even further. So that springboard is making it, their jumping, stronger. So sin is using the law, taking occasion by the law. You could compare it to a base of an army. That an army can do a very strong attack if it has a good base. You could compare it to the foothold of a runner. If he has something to push his foot against, then he can have a very strong start of running. So sin is using the law in that way, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of sinful desiring. So the law is good. But sin is abusing the law. So it becomes even more bad in my life. For without the law, sin was dead. But now the law is stirring up sin in my heart. The law said, thou shalt not. What shall I not? The child, I use that example, his mother was going away, said, well, you shouldn't take anything out of that can, you shouldn't even wash in it. Or you shouldn't open that box. Then that child is having such a desire, he can leave everything closed, but that box, he wants to open it. The commandment taking occasion, the sin taking occasion by the commandment. The mother was allowed to do that, to give that commandment to her child. But something in that child, it's our sinful nature, is using that commandment. Sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of sinful desire, coveting. For without the law, sin was dead. Sin was dead in two ways. It was like a lion sleeping there. Let it sleep, then it doesn't do harm. But if you make it awakening, well, then be careful. Then you are in trouble. Sin was dead, it was there. But not working in that way as when the law came, the commandment came in. And sin was dead also in another way. Paul didn't see it. But when the law came in, then he saw to covet his sin. So is the law wrong? No, the law is good. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He lost all hope. The law is good. The law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. The problem is with us. Our sinful nature. Our corruption. For sin taking, there he says it again, verse 11. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. Now he died. He's killed. In that way, spiritually, lost all hope. Sin has deceived him. Even using the law. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me. It was sin that made that criminal punished by the law. But the reason was that he sinned. Sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good by the law. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Exceeding sinful. So the law is good and is used so that Paul would see that he is so guilty before God and that he is so corrupt inside that a good thing like the law is even making things worse in his life. Because the law is not helping him. The law is that husband that is demanding, but not supporting and not helping. That's why he needs Christ. Oh yeah. Are you aware of the sinfulness, the corruption of your heart? Are you aware of that? And is there a change in your life? That you have the desire to do the will of God because you are married to Christ? Did you die? Did you spiritually die? Augustine says somewhere, when he was a boy, he was stealing pears. And why did he do that? Did he do that because he was hungry? No, he gave them to the pigs. But he said, I did it for the excitement of stealing. So corrupt is my heart. He had learned that. He saw it. Sin was taking occasion out of the commandment. He knew that he shouldn't do that. But it was exciting to his wicked heart. Sin taking occasion by the commandments. And now Augustine has learned that. The Lord showed it to him and he died. And his heart was changed. And he was saved by Christ. And you, would you not give up today to try to improve yourself? You're still trying that? Or do you love sin? Sin that is such a terrible thing that it's even abusing the good law of God? Is there a sin that you love that you want to continue? Are you deceived that you think, well, now I've a really exciting life because I live in sin? I don't like to stop that life. Augustine, he prayed when he was a boy, Lord, convert me. But not now. He liked to continue in sin. And he didn't like to live according to the law of God. He had that wrong understanding. He was deceived inside. He thought, well, that's a bad life. You have to do this and you have to leave that. There was a pastor who was driving in his car and someone was sitting behind him. And that man was talking, well, pastor, I do not like the commandments. I do not like that thou shalt and thou shalt not. And the pastor, he was silent. And then he took willfully a wrong turn. And then the man shouted. He said, well, you shouldn't do that. You go the wrong direction. There was a sign there. The pastor said, I don't like all those signs. And the man understood. He understood. The law is holy. And the commandment holy. And just and good. And when the Lord by the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. And giving that insight. Then it's changing. You have a desire. You are willing. You love to do it because you love Christ. There was a person who said, isn't this a dangerous teaching? When you learn to understand that you can do the things you want to do. Wouldn't all Christians do the wrong things? Well, then, there was a lady who loved the Lord and she was asked, would you like to do the sinful things? Of course not, she said. Why not? I love the Lord Jesus. You understand that? Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, gracious God, apply thy word to our hearts. Open our eyes so that we will see how wicked our hearts are by nature. And that sin is such a terrible thing, dishonoring thee. But thou art so good and so gracious and so mighty and so holy. Thou art our creator, thou hast the right to receive all things in our lives. That we might repent. And that we might be changed inwardly. We are always busy to try to change things in such a way that it looks better, but we cannot change our hearts. But the Holy Spirit is doing that, and what a joy it is when we experience that, and when we see Christ, and when we rest in Him, and live with Him, and then we will loathe ourselves, and we will hate sin. Lord, we pray for that marriage in each and every one of us, that new marriage married to Christ, and that that old tie will be broken by death. Our Lord, so that we will not live under the law, but under grace. Live it, Christ. We pray to forgive all our sins, everything that was not according to thy will, in speaking and listening. And let thy word be powerful in our hearts and souls. Help us in the catechism classes and the Sunday school. Lord, and when we go to jail this afternoon, bless thy words. Bless it in the Bible class for the neighborhoods. Give everything that we need to preach and apply it to the hearts. We thank thee. Forgive us our sins. We pray it for Christ's sake.